Lester said at the beginning of the service, it was good to see the pastor's family. Last week, you would not have wanted to see the pastor's family as we were all fighting that vicious stomach virus that was going around. And so we were glad not to be seen last Sunday, but definitely good to be back on our feet and functioning again. Thank you for your prayers and concerns and offers of help through the week, but especially for the prayers. Today I'm going to continue our series on the first words of Christ after his resurrection. And this will be the fifth sermon in our series. Jesus has appeared multiple times after his resurrection, first to Mary Magdalene in the garden, and then to the other women, and then to the apostles, minus Thomas, and then again to the apostles with Thomas, and where Thomas makes his great profession of faith, my Lord and my God, confessing the deity, not only the messiahship of Christ, but he is God himself. Last Sunday, you had my dear friend and brother Clint Calvert from our state convention preaching for you, and I appreciate him being there. Well, today now we're going to pick up with the next recorded appearance of Christ. I left out Jesus appearing on the road to Emmaus, too, with the two disciples there, Cleopas and his buddy. But the next recorded appearance of Christ is found in John chapter 21. We don't know exactly how many days after the resurrection this is. There were 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. And Jesus meets the disciples in a very different environment this time. But before we get to the text, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been disappointed?
Oh, yeah.
I was disappointed I didn't get to go on the retreat up into the mountains in Colorado last week like I planned. We've all been disappointed. Now, have you ever had any person disappoint you? Oh, yes. We've all been there, too. We've all been disappointed in other people. And how does it feel when someone you love very dearly disappoints you? It's very hurtful. Now let's flip that around. Have you ever disappointed anyone? Absolutely, you have, okay? Yes, you have. Have you broken a confidence? Yes, you have. I have. Have you let other people down? Yes, we all have done that. And how do we feel when we do that? Guilty, ashamed. And we really dread having to face that person again. What I'm saying to you is, whether you are the disappointed or the disappointee, whichever one you are, those are some very harsh experiences that you have to go through in life because of our human weaknesses, our sinful nature. But it also gives us an opportunity to grow and to become better and to become stronger as people and as Christians as we have to face up to those realities. And this is what's going on in John chapter 21. You have the disappointed one, Jesus, coming face to face with the disappointee, Peter, who had denied Christ three times. So let's look in John chapter 21 at the first 22 verses. It's kind of a lengthy scripture reading, but I think we need to cover it all this morning. The Bible tells us in John 21, starting in verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, that means the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, who's that? James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. I guess the other guys didn't make the cut in the name list, huh? So Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Now, I want you to understand this isn't Simon Peter going, hey, it's a nice spring day. The weather's nice. Maybe the fish are biting. I'm going to go catch some fish for something. No. This is Peter's, whose livelihood was as a fisherman, along with James and John, saying, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to my old job as a fisherman. And notice he wasn't alone. Now, how could they do that? They had just seen the Lord. They didn't know what to do next, so they just fell back to their old familiar life. Look at what the others said. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. You would think at this point they'd start having a sense of deja vu, but not yet. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, no. That's how I interpret it. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. The deja vu is still not kicking in for them. So they cast. And when they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus caught his own fish that morning. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. It was so many that John remembered how many there were. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus asked Peter, he said, do you agape? Do you love unconditionally me more than these? Do you agape me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. Phileo means a brotherly love. Jesus said to him, tend my lambs. Take care of my lambs. Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? In the words agape again, do you love me unconditionally? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I phileo you. I love you like a brother. We're still not there, are we, Peter? So Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time Jesus said, phileo. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." I like this because Jesus knew Peter wasn't ready to have that unconditional love just quite yet. And so Jesus met Peter where he was, said, "Okay, we'll get you the rest of the way." And Jesus went on to say to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Peter was crucified upside down. His hands were stretched out and nailed to a cross. And that's what Jesus was telling Peter. "Peter, the day's going to come where you're not going to be able to go and do what you want to do. In fact, someone else is going to stretch out your hands and nail you to a cross." When he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Let's pray. Father, as we open up this passage of Scripture, God, let us see the words of Christ, what he is saying to each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here is Peter. He has left his nets and his life to follow Jesus. 3 years go by. Jesus is crucified. Jesus is buried. He rises again from the dead. He has appeared. And what has Peter done? He has gone back to his own former life. Fishing on the Sea of Galilee was not a lazy, easygoing task. It was hard work. These folks did not use rod and reel recreationally like we do. They used nets. They fished at night when the sun was absent from the sky. Fish can't blink. Do you know that? They don't have eyelids. They can't close their eyes. They are very light sensitive. And so in the bright part of the day, the fish go deep to escape the bright light. At night, they move closer to the surface to feed. These men in their small wooden boats had nets, and they would drop the nets at night where they could catch the fish when they were closest to the surface. And so fishermen worked all night. In the morning, they would lay their catch out to dry in the sun and hang their nets, their wet nets, up so that they could dry in the air and the sun and not rot. If you just left them wadded up, they would mold, mildew, and rot. And so even after your night was over, you still had a lot of work before you could even get to bed. But this was the life that Peter knew. So the question that has to be asked, why did Peter, after seeing the resurrected Lord, why did he go back to his nets and the hard life of a fisherman? You don't have to be much of a Bible student to understand the reason. The reason why Peter went back to his nets was shame. He had denied Christ 3 times, right? He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He was hurting. Jesus had even told Mary Magdalene to go tell the disciples and Peter that I have risen from the dead. But yet, here is Peter still hurting, needing to be restored. And so what we have here in John 21 at the Sea of Galilee is we have a scene of reconciliation. I am amazed when I read this passage that how in the world could they not have had this sense, I kept saying deja vu, this sense of we have been here before. This has happened before. Because you see, in Luke chapter 5, in verses 1 through 7, the Bible tells us, early on in the ministry of Jesus when he had called these men, it says, now it happened while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. That's another name for the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing the nets. So we know it's in the morning. Sun's up. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. That's just like John 21. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Peter is the professional fisherman. Jesus is the carpenter. I can just picture Peter and the boys putting the nets back down. It's like, okay, let's show this landlubber here, carpenter, who doesn't know anything about fishing. Let's show him what happens when we drop these nets that don't go that deep near the surface of the water in the bright sunshine when the fish are way down in the depths where we can't reach them. Let's show him what he's going to catch. A big fat goose egg. But let's show it. But he doesn't. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now that's a fishing trip, right?
Amen.
Now you would think, having had this unforgettable experience, that when Jesus calls to them, hey, have you caught anything? No. Fishing all night. And Jesus says, hey, put your net on the other side of the boat. You would think that the light bulb would come on. But you see, that's what shame does to us. That's what embarrassment does to us. It blinds us. It takes our focus off of the grace and goodness of God, and it puts it on our own failures and our own limitations. And that's why they, especially Peter, did not recognize what was going on that night or that morning by the Sea of Galilee. But now what Jesus is doing is, he is bringing Peter's life full circle. For you see, it was here in Luke 5 that Peter began to follow Jesus. To understand that there's something special about this man from Nazareth. When you fail the Lord, it's embarrassing. I can think of times where I have failed the Lord, in colossal ways. What does the Lord do for us? He brings us back to the place spiritually where we first encountered him. To remind us of what he has done for us. And to show us his love. for us. Think about this principle in the Bible. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Jacob, the patriarch, kept having to go back to Bethel, the place where he first met God. Every time Jacob fails, God brings him back to Bethel. Have you failed the Lord? Are you embarrassed about something that you have done? Some failure where you maybe weren't as faithful as you should have been. Maybe didn't speak up for the Lord when you should have. Maybe didn't share the gospel at that moment that was so clearly given to you. Whatever it is, understand that God will bring you back to that place where you met the Lord. Back to that moment of failure to give you a chance to do the right thing. You see, by the Sea of Galilee that night, that early morning, this wasn't the first time that Peter and Jesus met eyeball to eyeball over a charcoal fire. You can go in John's Gospel. In John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, the Bible says, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. This is John again. He never mentions his own name when he writes. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. The setting of this is the night before Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now remember what Peter had done earlier that night. Peter had confessed his love for Jesus and said, Jesus, I will fight and die for you. Peter said, "Will you?" Jesus said to Peter, "Will you really?" "Oh yes, Lord, I will give my life to protect you." And Jesus said, "Peter, you know, before the sun comes up in the morning, a rooster's going to crow three times." The soldiers and the priests, being led by Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, come to the garden. There's a little bit of a tussle. Peter pulls out a short dagger out of his cloak, starts swinging wildly. Poor Malchus, the high priest's servant, gets his ear in the way and his ear lops off. Jesus picks up the ear and heals it, reattaches it to Malchus's head. Peter runs away and the others. Then Peter and John hook up again and they follow along at a distance and they wind up at the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus is being interrogated. Verse 17, then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there having made a charcoal fire. For it was cold and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them standing and warming himself. Now when you go to Luke's gospel, you see this. Now Peter's by the fire. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then look at verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. A rooster crows, and Jesus is now out in the courtyard, and he just looks eyeball to eyeball at Peter there by that charcoal fire. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. Not the first time they had been by a charcoal fire. You see the principle. Peter, after having denied Christ three times, Jesus meets him again at the same place where they first met, on the lake, after a night of fruitless fishing. Jesus has a charcoal fire prepared. And you know that when Peter is there first, waiting on the other guys to come in, and he's just sitting there staring at the Lord, that Peter's remembering the last time he looked across a fire into the face of Jesus. And he's remembering his three betrayals. Jesus reached out to Peter by a charcoal fire. When you fail the Lord, if you fail the Lord, does that mean that you are through as a follower of Jesus? Absolutely not. It means that you're a sinner saved by grace and still struggling with sin. But dear follower of Christ, I've said this many times from this pulpit in Bible studies. It's words that a seminary professor gave to me 30-something years ago now when I had failed. And he said to me, remember, a failure is an event. Never a person. A failure is an event, never a person. All of us at times have failed, have let the Lord down, have disappointed Christ. But does that mean that Jesus loves us any less? No. It is impossible for Jesus to love you any more than he already loves you. He loves you so much that he died on the cross for you. He can't love you any more than he already does. So even when you fail, he does not love you less. And even when you succeed, he does not love you more. His love is everlasting and unchanging towards you. In the eyes of God, you are never a failure. You might be someone that he needs to build a charcoal fire for. And to meet you again and look you across the fire eye to eye and give you that opportunity to undo that failure. He might have to ask you like he did Peter three times, do you love me? And give you that opportunity to affirm, yes, Lord, I love you. But he will meet you there. Do you know what happens with Peter? Peter will never be the same man again. He will never deny Christ again. You will never see him saying, I don't know Jesus. This is the same man who will willingly allow himself one day to be martyred, to go to a cross for his Lord. When we think of the first words of Jesus after his resurrection, we think about glory and joy and happiness. We think about our faith being confirmed. But also Jesus speaks messages of restoration to his people who have failed. At the end of this message today, I'm going to ask you a question. Where have you failed Jesus? You could probably list several areas. What's your excuse? Well, it's just like Peter. We don't have any excuses. But our God loves us so much that he doesn't want an excuse. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet he still loves us the same. So what do? We remember that Jesus calls you to meet him at the place of failure, so that you may be restored. Understand that that opportunity is going to come again. And when it does, recognize what the Lord is doing. He is giving you the new opportunity to be a faithful follower of him. To restore. Did you notice in that exchange with Jesus and Peter? Jesus doesn't go, "Now, Peter, you denied me 3 times. Jesus doesn't bring it up. Jesus knows it, and Peter knows it, and Jesus knows that Peter knows it. And do you also notice that Peter isn't going, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry I've rejected you 3 times. No. The Lord also knows Peter's heartbreak and shame. The Lord says, "Peter, the past is past. I took your sin, even that sin, to the cross. It's been crucified with me, buried with me in the baptism of my death. And remember that you are raised in the life, the new life that is found in my resurrection. And so now, let's move forward, knowing I love you the same as always. You might be ashamed of yourself, but I am never ashamed of you." If that's where you are in your walk with the Lord, be reconciled to Christ. Move forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your Son Jesus will build that charcoal fire to bring us to a place of restoration. Lord, we pray that you will help us to not live in past failures, but Lord, to move forward in the victory that is found in obedience and trust. Father, bless this time to respond to your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. I invite you to respond to faith.